Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. I think I've only ever done a bonus episode once before, and I felt like I wanted to get this out into the world this week because I feel I'm having a very similar conversation with a lot of my one-on-one mentees and also with my Step Into You group, which is running at the moment as well. And it's all about how do we adjust to getting more, well, not getting more, but how do we just get shit done while we're in this strange kind of ISO life bubble of time that we're all finding ourselves in right now. So I've been having this conversation a lot with my mentees, and there's very, very similar themes are coming up within each of those conversations. So I thought it might be super helpful for my wonderful podcast audience to do, I guess I'm calling it the 10 commandments to getting shit done remotely. And I think it would be, I'm just keen to get it out there because I think this will hopefully help a lot of you who are adjusting to working from home or have partners who are adjusting to working from home right now. I do also have a training, which I'm calling Remote Flow, which is to actually do some of the tips in Remote Flow are in here, but it'll give you a bit of a flavor of the kind of content I've created. So if you are part of a team or you're leading a team and you own a business and you are keen to help your team adjust more seamlessly to this new remote working setup, the Remote Flow program could be absolutely perfect for you. So I've launched it only 2 weeks ago. It was a very, very soft, quiet launch, and I'm pretty much kicking into training sessions next week with organizations. So just putting that out there, if you do have a team and you would like to skill them up so that they're working, there's three modules that they're, so module one, that they're feeling more organized, module two, that they've got some really proactive ways to help them maintain a positive mindset, and module three is all about helping them stay connected as a team. So if they kind of are even just mentally ticking some boxes for you, just drop me an email through my website or a DM on Instagram and I can get all the Remote Flow info to you. So I'm going to jump in. The very first commandment is thou shalt maintain structure. And I've seen this piece of advice bandied around a lot on the interwebs. There's so many amazing people creating brilliant guides to working from home and working remotely. And I would 150% agree with that. We do need to maintain structure in our lives as we adjust to this new normal of working. However, I actually think we should be creating even more structure than we would normally have in our lives, because if we're used to traveling to the office, whether it's 3 days or 5 days a week, that there's almost quite a bit of inbuilt structure in that. The commute, the having to be XYZ by a certain time. So I think we can create similar structure at home, and just simple things like waking up at the same time as we normally would, or going to exercise at the same time we normally would, getting to bed at the same time, eating dinner at the same time we normally would. So I think that's all awesome. But I actually think we would benefit from adding even more structure than we would normally have day to day in our lives. So that might mean if you're not normally a meal planner, that now you're a meal planner. It might mean that you are making sure that you get your meditation in, whether that's 20 minutes in the evening or the morning or whatever you choose to do. There's also some kind of organized fun that you can create for yourself. So I know my gym, I've mentioned this a few times, they've created a 5-week lockdown challenge, which is where we get sent like a daily workout. There's a few yoga classes a week. It's a whole point system. We've been arranged into teams. So that to me is giving me a lot of structure to do that, and almost like to literally take one for the team and get out there and do my workout to keep the team's points high. So that's one way I'm building in more structure than I would normally have in my life. The second way I'm building in more structure is I've signed up for a 30-day meditation course. So I've raved for a long time about Insight Timer and how much I love it as a meditation app. And I'm doing a 30-day course. So I think just this morning I did the 15th day or 16th day or something of that course. So it's maybe 12 to 20 minutes every morning. And again, that's giving me a lot of structure, and I kind of want to keep it up. I don't want to drop a day. So I've been very, incentivized to keep going with that. Other things you could do is sign up to some kind of an online program. So I know, for example, with my Step Into You program, people have been a lot more diligent with staying on top of it than they were last time around, because people, I think they're craving that structure. And the reason I think we should add more structure in than less, or even just the same as what we're used to doing right now, is that we all need a balance of certainty and uncertainty. And when we've got too much certainty, we get bored, we get antsy, we start creating kind of unnecessary or pointless drama in our lives. When we've got too much uncertainty, we spin out because we just don't know where we're going to be from kind of one end of the week to the next. So I do think, as I'm recording this episode in mid-April, that the dust is settling somewhat in this new normal. I think we're all kind of starting to get a bit of a feel for what it feels and looks like and the realities of it day to day. However, I do think that there is still a huge amount of uncertainty. You know, for some of us, that's even more so. Maybe people who've lost their jobs during the whole process of this, or whose businesses have had to be either closed down or definitely put on the back burner during this time. So I think we need to always balance the level of uncertainty with the level of certainty, because we're constantly, ideally, trying to strive for some kind of a happy medium. So the seesaw's balanced, almost the scales is balanced. So given there is still so much uncertainty with this whole pandemic situation that we're living through, I think we should be adding in more structure than ever. So think about in your life how you could add more structure in. And I don't want to say, you know, structure yourself up to the eyeballs that you feel like you haven't got time to breathe each day. It's about finding your own personal recipe for structure. And I know another element of me adding more structure in is I go for my walk every single morning. I would probably go for a walk once every three weeks, even every 4 weeks on my own normally. And now I'm going Monday to Friday every single morning. So between 6:45 and 7, I'm out the door for my 30-minute walk. So think about how you can add more structure in. Commandment one is thou shalt maintain and build even more structure into your life. Second commandment, thou shalt create anchors. So I've spent a lot of time talking to some of my mentees about this over the last few weeks. So the whole idea of anchors comes from neuro-linguistic programming, aka NLP, which is a type of psychology. And in NLP, they talk about the importance of anchors. So there might be a certain name that you're anchored to. So you might have had like a really bitchy girl in your final year at high school, and her name was, I'm just making up names here, Joanna. And then every time we meet a Joanna again, you're like, oh, I don't like Joannas. So it might also be a certain smell, like there might be a perfume that you wore on a certain holiday with a holiday romance a few years ago. And every time you smell that perfume, it takes you back to that time. So the thing with us going to work is that we're going to create certain anchors. So we'll put on certain clothes, we'll do our makeup, we'll do our certain commute, we might get a coffee at a certain cafe on the way into the office. There's kind of a certain routine that we have when we get into the office about like setting our desks up for the day and so on. So I think something that a lot of people are challenged with right now, but they don't actually realize the root cause of it, is that all their anchors are gone, because they're used to getting up, having a shower, being out the door, getting the kids to daycare, getting on the bus, getting to the city, doing their day's work and so on. And there's so many, that there's probably hundreds of different layers of anchors in that kind of anchor us into a state of, okay, I'm here to get shit done, I'm here to work. So what's happening for a lot of us, and what we're not realizing, is that our anchors are gone, they're shot, they're non-existent. So that's why a lot of us are finding it really, really difficult to get motivated and stay in the zone at home, because we don't have the advantage of those different anchors. So what I would suggest to you is during this time that you create some really positive, proactive anchors that will help you kind of kick into work mode quicker and get you into that beautiful flow state quicker. Some ways that you can do that is certain clothes. So I am pretty much living in my denim jeggings at the moment. They're my work jeggings. And then I only put on the tracky pants in the evening once my work has finished. I also might wear like my slightly... The hierarchy of my wardrobe is very complicated, obviously. But I might have my kind of slightly nicer white t-shirt that I'll wear. I will put mascara on every morning, so I'm not wearing full makeup unless I've got a Zoom call. And then I don't know if you guys have had this experience. You think you're having a phone call with someone and they send you a Zoom invite 3 minutes before because they're keen just to chat in person. I'm like, no, I've no makeup on. So yeah, cue massive panic. Wade saw me in a blind panic last week, racing up the stairs, and it was because a mentee had just dropped a Zoom invite in instead. And I was really keen to see her. But yeah, I don't think my hair was even brushed at that point of the morning. So think about what anchors you can create. Is it the clothes anchors? Is it having some makeup on, even if it's just basic makeup that you put on? Is there a certain cup of tea that your certain mug tea that you drink or coffee that you drink or a mug that you drink out of? And that's your work. They're almost like your work clothes. That's your kind of work suite of tools. Something I love to do is essential oil. So I've got essential oils that I will diffuse in our bedroom. So I've got rose, I've got sweet orange oil, I've got lavender and frankincense, and they're my real like wind down for the evening oils. But then in my office, I've got peppermint, I've got my own, I've got a get shit done oil, which I created with my beautiful friend Naomi from the spa brand Iku a few years ago. And that's a blend of lemongrass, peppermint and Mei Chang. And I use that to get shit done. So most mornings, if you were to kind of swing into my home office at our house, I would have the get shit done oil going to really kind of set the atmosphere, I guess, and set the vibe for my day. But also it's a really powerful anchor, because when that's going, it's like on a real subconscious level, I know that, okay, this is work time. So think about what anchors you can create in your life. And it could even be food. Like there's a certain snack or a certain work lunch that you have each day that you're working. And it's very different than to the weekend. So I think we need to be very, very, very intentional about the anchors that we're creating in our lives right now, so that there's a certain set or a toolkit of anchors that kick us into work mode. And there's also almost like an opposite set that kicks us into relax mode, because I think we've got a double challenge. A lot of people have a double challenge going on. One, they're struggling to get motivated at home, but then two, they're struggling to switch off at home as well. So what are the different cues? It's probably a good word as well. What are the cues that you can create for yourself that you know that you're entering into a work day or you're exiting your work day, just like you would if you go to or from the office. Commandment number 3 of GSD, getting shit done remotely, is thou shalt separate maker time versus manager time. So I talk about the idea of maker schedule versus manager schedule in my book, Get Remarkably Organized. And I also cover it in any training that I'm doing with teams, like in a team situation. So to give you a quick summary, manager time is any business or work tasks that you're doing that are about your people. So that's your team whips, it's your sales follow-up, your sales calls, it's your marketing strategy session with your team, it's doing consults depending on your business or your role, you know, having a consultation type situation with one of your clients. So they're all your kind of maker things. Maker time is anything, maker schedule is anything to do with you dealing with the people, like pressing the flesh in your role. So that's your maker time. Manager time. On the other side of it then, you've got your maker time. So maker is the time that you spend creating whatever it is that you create within your business. So just I think the week before we all went into kind of ISO and social distancing measures, I ran a session for a group of lawyers. So I was at a legal firm in Sydney City. And I asked them, what's your maker activity? And for lawyers, it's creating contracts, it's reviewing contracts. And then I did a session for, it was a broader group, but there was accountants in there. And that was all about checking another database. Like it was someone who had a sales role at an accountancy firm. And it was about building the database, checking in with, you know, who hadn't she talked to recently and who's due kind of a check-in call and so on. So for all of us, regardless of our role, we're going to have something in our role that's maker time. So to give you another example, maker time for me is if I'm creating a new program. So when I was creating my remote flow program, probably 2.5 weeks ago. And then I launched it 2 weeks ago. So I spent a week creating. So there was a lot of maker time in terms of planning out what the program is going to be, coming up with the name, briefing my graphic. So preparing the brief for my graphic designer. And then obviously, as soon as I start to answer questions or go back and forth with the graphic designer, then I'm tipping into manager time just to create that differentiation. I'm in maker time right now, making this podcast episode for you. So think about what your maker time is versus your manager time in your role. And this applies regardless of whether we're in ISO or not, but it's really, really, really important right now because our diaries are a real free-for-all. And I had a session with one of my mentees at the moment who's a senior manager at a major accounting firm. And she's used to, like, if she's at the office, she'll block out like an afternoon, or she'll be off at a client's office for 3 hours, or she'll go work from the lobby area for a few hours or whatever it might be. Whereas when we're working from home, the assumption from our team can be, oh, well, they're at home, therefore they're always available. And as a result, I'm hearing a lot from my mentees, whether they've got their own businesses or their employees, like the mentee I mentioned at the accounting firm, and they're just realizing like there's just Zoom calls dropping in left, right and center, and they're finding it really, really, really hard to actually cordon off any of that maker time. So I think it's extra, extra key right now for us to plan out when we're going to have the maker time and when we're going to have the manager time. And if other people have access to your calendar, potentially blocking in, maybe it's the first half of Monday is maker time, so you know that you can get all of the things done that you need to get done for everyone else before you hit into your Zoom calls in the afternoon. So separating out your manager time versus your maker time and blocking time into your calendar so you actually get you are able to get the stuff done that you need to get done. So that is commandment 3. Commandment 4, thou shalt prep the night before. So if you have read Get Remarkably Organized or done my Get Remarkably Organized program at some stage, you will know that I'm really big on the idea of the future self. So looking after our future selves. And I think that is so important right now, because I think for a few people, quite a few people actually, we are saying, oh, well, I don't have to get up in the morning and make school lunches, or I don't have to get to the office by 7:30 in the morning, so I could just take it a bit easier and not be as organized as I normally would. I think what some people are not realizing, those same people, is that our time is extra potent right now. So any way that you can increase the potency of the hour or the 10 minutes or even the bloody 5 minutes that you get to devote to doing some work, it's really, really key. So what we want to do is every evening do as much shit setting up for the next day as we can that night, which means that the next day we can be at our maximum potency. So with that mentee I was talking about who is in the accounting firm, she's gotten into a bit of a cycle. She's got a little boy, this little bit younger than Lexi, so he's 2. And she's gotten into a bit of a cycle of logging back in once her son is down and working for an hour and a half on the sofa, and then watching a show with her husband, and then getting to bed a bit later than normal. And what I proposed to her is that instead of logging back online for that time, is she spends a half an hour getting herself ready for the next day. So clearing her workspace, preparing the lunch for the next day. So if that's chopping vegetables, she's a big fan of making poke bowls for lunch. Her husband's also working from home and they've got their son home as well. So getting all the veg ready, for example, for the poke bowl, getting the rice cooked, whatever you need to do, so that she can actually get that hour. So say she spends a half an hour, 45 minutes getting ready for the next day. It just means then that, first of all, she's hitting the sofa to watch Netflix with her husband a bit quicker. And also just means that the next day, lunch is ready in 5 minutes rather than it taking 30 minutes to prepare, which means that she's got more potent working time the next day. And I think for most of us, we would trade an hour working late at night after our kids go to bed any day for having 30 minutes of productive morning time. So thinking about what can you get ready the night before so that your next day is going to be as potent as possible. And I think the thing that we all need to be very cognizant of is, and Wade actually sent this to me recently, is that it's a quote. It was a tweet that he shared with me. I'm trying to find it on my phone, but I'll just try to paraphrase it. And it basically said that you are not working from home. You are trying to work in a crisis in your home. And there's a very, very big difference between that. So what I do not want to convey to you at all that I've got any expectation, or you should have any expectation of yourself, that your productivity would be as high as it is when your kids aren't at home, or when your life is more structured. But I would say to you, rather than productivity, let's aim for potency. So even if your working time has been reduced by 40%, let's make the 60% that you do have as potent as possible. And I think a really key way that we can do that is to actually get as much done for the next day as possible as you can the night before. So that is commandment number 4. Commandment number 5 is thou shalt set boundaries. And this goes back to the point that I shared a few minutes ago about our calendars and our time being a bit of a free-for-all at the moment, because, you know, if you're not out of client meetings or you're not commuting, well, you're at home and you're available to work. Whereas the reality is that we need to eat lunch, we need to pee. You know, I'm talking to mentees at the moment who literally do not have time to go to the bathroom because their Zoom calls are just block booked so hard. A perfect example is my own dear husband, who right now is down on the phone. I swear that man is on Zoom calls nonstop from, I'd say, 1:30. He rushes from lunch to do his first Zoom call, and he can be on Zoom calls nonstop until 6 o'clock. So I think we need to, and this is shout out to my husband, Wade, if you're listening, this is for you. It's about trying to create a bit more space in our day so we do just have time to do the basic stuff, like go to the bathroom, fill up our water bottles, get some food, just go for a 5 minute walk around the block. So I think, I know that a lot of people are reluctant to put down boundaries right now because they feel like it's going to look like they're not committed. It may even be that they feel that their job isn't 100% secure right now. So there's definitely, you know, an element that we could feel like that. However, I think that to kind of take another look at boundaries, if I think about boundaries with Lexi, our daughter, who's almost three, it's crazy. And if I think about her, you know, if we let her stay up half the night watching Peppa Pig, or we let her be on our phones looking, this is her new thing, is looking at photos on Mama's phone, and she pretends to send me photos and I have to look at them. So if it's, you know, leaving her scrolling on my phone, if she's scrolling at photos on my phone for more than 5 minutes, she gets so shitty. It's like her little brain cannot deal with the screen time at all. But if she was on my phone for, you know, maybe an hour, 2 hours at a time, just messing around with all my settings, which is what she does, or if we just let her eat random food whenever she wanted to during the day, like, she would be an absolute howling mess. I mean, she's that anyway. She has boundaries in her life sometimes. So think about the whole idea that when we put down boundaries for people, it makes them feel safe. And going back to that idea of certainty versus uncertainty, it makes people feel very certain, like they know where they stand. So to go back to my beautiful mentee in the accounting firm again, something we talked about, a big challenge that she's having and a reason that she's getting back online at 7:30 every evening, or most evenings, is to review stuff. So she, the role that she's sitting in, she's a senior manager. So she needs to review the work of her team before it gets sent to more senior partners in the business. So what she's doing is she's logging back on at 7:30 to review everything that the team did that day, so she can get it over to the partner or back to the team to send on to the partner. And then she knows that that's not going to be kind of the first thing she needs to deal with first thing in the morning. So essentially what she's trying to do is clear the decks for her day the next day. So what I suggested to her is to create a boundary for the team that if there's stuff that needs to be reviewed by her before it goes to a senior partner, that it needs to be in her inbox for 4:30 every afternoon. That way, then the last thing she can do before she kind of clocks off at 7 p.m. every evening is to review what the team has sent, give them feedback, and then she knows then she's starting into her day the next day fresh, and she doesn't need to do that kind of later evening the night before. So I think, and each of you is going to know what boundaries are appropriate for you and where kind of you sit in the organization, whether it's your business or not or whatever it might be. And I think there's a very elegant way of suggesting boundaries that comes from a place of, guys, I just want us to be more streamlined and get more shit done as a team and be happier. So how would you feel about if we created like a guideline like XYZ? So I think there's a very elegant way rather than saying, I'm putting down this boundary and you're in big trouble if you don't observe it. So thinking about if you can create some boundaries in your role, it will obviously make things work a lot easier for you, and chances are it'll make things work a lot more easily for your team as well. But also it makes people feel safe. If they know they need to get something to you by 4:30 in the afternoon, well, that's a deadline that they have to work to. And I'm not saying that they're always going to hit that. They might get a phone call from a client, or their kid might have a shit fit because the wrong Peppa Pig episode is on or whatever crazy stuff that kids do. But the intention is there, and the boundary is there to offer a bit of a guideline. So, and I would say this for email. So if you're sending emails after hours, is that then sending it on kind of a hidden message to your team that you expect them to email back? If you're replying to emails after hours to clients and your boss or your team members, is that then sending a message that that's what you're prepared to do going forward? So think about other boundaries that you could create, first of all, to help your own role run more smoothly, but also to help your team, and then also just to create certainty for everyone. And then think about as well your boundaries at home. So are there boundaries that maybe you need to create to make things run more smoothly at home? Whether that's arranging with a partner that you've got, you know, X time that they're on online with the kids, or you go offline, or Thursday night is your time where you just need to, you know, have a break from each other. I know Something myself and Wade are adjusting to is this is the longest stretch that both of us have been in the state or maybe even in the country for, Jesus, I would even say most of our relationship. Like one of us is going somewhere interstate, even if it's me going to Brisbane for a one day speaking gig or a one night speaking gig. So I think a lot of us are adjusting to being in each other's pockets a lot. And to give you kind of a live example from our relationship, last night I'd slept really badly the night before last. I was very tired, very emotional yesterday. 99% of it due to just being freaking exhausted. And I know Wade was keen to hang out, and I want to do a yin class. So I went and did a yin class in my bedroom, our bedroom. And I came downstairs, I had a shower, and I just said to him, he's been getting up at 4:30 every morning. And when he gets up at 5, normally I'll either wake up and I'm ready to go as well, which was his normal wake up time for the last year or so, or I'll sleep through and I'll kind of wake up naturally, organically myself at 6 o'clock and go, oh, he's been up. I didn't even realize like his side of the bed is cold. Whereas he's been waking up at 4:30 at the moment, and I've been waking up. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been waking up every morning with him at 4:30, and I'm finding it really hard to go back to sleep, and it's really, really disrupting my sleep. So I said to him last night, look, can I make a request? Would you mind sleeping on the trundle bed in Lexi's room tonight, just so I can not be woken at 4:30? And happily, he was super agreeable to that. As it happened, Lexi woke up in the middle of the night because she started kind of creeping into our bed lately as well. Every kind of two or three nights she's in with us. She woke up, realized that Wade was on the floor beside her in the trundle bed, freaked out, was like, mama, 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 mama. And I swear she was like a human cannonball landing on me in our bed. She got into our room before he could stop her. So yes, mixed success. But you know, that was a boundary that I asked for. And thankfully, Wade was happy to honor it for me last night. So that's, as I said, that's a live example from our relationship right now. I'm sure if you think about your current living situation, there's probably some boundaries that you think would be a lot more healthy for you right now. And obviously, we need to be open to our partner's boundaries in return as well. Okay, commandment number 6, thou shalt create separation. I was chatting to a mentee, it was actually someone who won a 30-minute mentoring session with me as part of Couple Goals. It was like a bonus that I created in the last days before Couple Goals closed in January. And her name is Stacey, and she's a psychologist, and she's an awesome lady. She's followed me for quite a while. I have a lot of respect for her. And she's, as I said, she's a psychologist. Her partner is also, can't remember. He's also working from home. So he set himself up in the spare bedroom, and she set up her desk in their bedroom. As you can imagine, as a psychologist, she's used to going into her clinic. What do you call it? Rooms. Going to her room. In the office, in the practice that she works in, and clients come to her and then they leave, and then she packs up and she goes home to her nice happy life again at the end of the day. What's happening now is that these clients she's consulting with them in her own bedroom, which is where she sleeps, unwinds, I'm assuming makes love as well. And that's a really hard thing because there's no separation. You've essentially got your client's most intimate thoughts and challenges and fears and worries and concerns and all of that being brought straight into your space, which is your most sacred, intimate, like your inner sanctum, essentially. And it was something that she was really, really struggling with. So I think it's important for us to think about, like, how can we create separation between our business and our work and home? So a few examples that I had, and something I actually suggested to Stacey, and I said, look, this might look absolutely fugly, but to actually cover her desk with a sheet. Once she kind of closed down her last session, I think she said ends at 6 in the evening, to cover the desk with a sheet so that she can't see it, because she doesn't, unfortunately, have the luxury of closing the office door or the spare room door like her partner does. So covering it up, so she just, at least she just can't see it then. And then there's almost, again, remember the idea of anchors. There's a potential then to create an anchor whereby she kind of whips off the sheet in the morning, and that's the anchor then to the workday is starting. So that's obviously a very extreme example, but for a lot of us, the lines are very, very blurred. I know it's happening in our house and we need to be very, very conscious of it. So think about how can you create separation between work time and home time in this current kind of bubble that we're living in. So for each of you, that's going to be quite different. I know Tim Ferriss, I was listening to a podcast interview that he did recently, and he was talking about, for him, he normally goes to a co-working space. He's from Austin, Texas. He lives there. And normally he goes to a co-working space downtown, and that's not available. He's actually kind of been in voluntary quarantine for the last six weeks now. He went into quarantine very, very early because he's got pulmonary issues already, a previous history of pulmonary issues. And what he said is now he's working from the kitchen table, like the kitchen table, the dining table where he normally sits and has dinner with breakfast, lunch and dinner with his girlfriend. His office is now the kitchen table. So what he has done is they've created a much smaller table. It's like a low table that they sit on. I think got the impression it's like sofas and armchairs that they set up in their living room. And that has become their eating table. So again, that's just his way of creating some separation between work time and home, you know, relax and recreation time. So commandment number 6 is thou shalt create separation. Commandment number 7 is thou shalt have a team communication rhythm. So with this one, I'm speaking specifically to the people who are working in teams. So you guys are all remote and you're probably normally used to working in kind of a physical location together. And I think it's really, really important to create a rhythm right now. I mean, I teach teams this regardless of the kind of time that we're living through. But I think right now, again, going back to that idea of like our diaries are a free for all and things are, I would warrant that for a lot of you in teams, things are a lot less structured than they normally would be. So I think it's really, really helpful to create a communication rhythm. So is that the weekly sales meeting happens on Tuesday? Because guys, we need to remember as well, if you're sitting in an office scenario, so much of the kind of getting shit done between you as a team, it's almost done by osmosis. Like it's not intentional. There's, you pass someone on the way to the bathroom and you say, oh, I'm going to get that report to you tomorrow. Or you're making, you know, you're waiting for the kettle to boil for tea in the kitchen. And you're talking about, okay, yeah, we'll make this happen on the sales front this week. Or this email needs to go out. This report needs to be prepared by next Wednesday or whatever it might be. So I think we need to have a lot more structure in terms of our comms rhythm, but also we need to have a very intentional rhythm. So rather than this death by Zoom, which I think a lot of people, particularly in corporate land, are experiencing right now, I think it's very, very beneficial if someone, whether it's you or it's the team leader, or there's a bit of a kind of a group working think tank on how things could be done in a more streamlined way around what is the communication rhythm. Like, do we want to be having a weekly meeting on a Tuesday morning, for example, so that Monday, maybe a couple of people have said, look, I need to be with the kids on Monday, or Monday's people's day to get their head down and just get shit done. And then Tuesday morning, they do their weekly meeting. I know for me, with my remote team, our weekly meeting happens at 9:30 on a Tuesday morning for that exact reason. Monday, we get shit done. Tuesday, then we're kind of like, okay, I've got my shit done now. I'm ready to kind of, again, kick into manager mode versus maker mode. So that is something that you can do. Also, is there Friday drinks, for example? Is that something you want to start doing Friday 4 p.m.? That's when you do your drinks or your social time, or just informal hangout time. So think about what kind of a rhythm you can create for you guys as a team. Because yeah, as I said, there's definitely a lot of death by Zoom going on right now. And I think there's also a lot of meetings happening for the sake of meetings happening rather than there being a really solid intention behind it. And in the remote flow program that I'm taking teams through, I've actually created a meeting agenda specifically for that, to keep things on track and also to make meetings fun, like they're not just dragging on and on and on. And again, it goes back to that thing of that concept of making our time a lot more potent than it might normally be, given that there's a lot more demands on our time right now. And I'm specifically talking about people who've got kids at home when I'm saying that. Commandment number 8, thou shalt have compelling evening plans. So this is a fun one. So what's happening, I'm finding for a lot of my mentees, or people sharing this and Step Into You, or people sending me DMs on Insta or sending me feedback on my podcast, is that when you've got to get home, whether your commute is 10 minutes or 100 minutes, or it's 4-hour commute, I mean, that's unlikely. Maybe you've got an hour long commute home. There's something to get home for. You know, you've got to log off because you need to get the bus so that you're home to get dinner ready so you can eat at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. whatever time you want to have dinner. So ask yourself the question, are you dragging on your work day unnecessarily at the end of the day because there's nothing to actually switch off your computer for? For those of you who've got kids who are like on kid duty, obviously that's something that we do need to log off for. So most of the time now I'm doing Lexi's bedtime routine because Wade will work later in the evening. He does the morning shift when we're splitting our time between us to look after her. Well, as we are right now. So what I would say then is it's we need to have something to log off for. So if you haven't got kids, or you're the parent that's not on duty to get the kids dinner and get them to bed that evening, it's what's actually going to compel you to down tools and switch off your computer. Because I know for me, when I had a job and I was working at the office, Wade and I were living together, and if he was going to be working late or he was going to be at an event or out with friends, I'd kind of find myself dilly-dallying. Like, I wouldn't leave the office. Normally I'd be leaving the office at like 5:36, but I'd find myself sitting there at 7:15, honestly just fucking around, like not doing anything remotely productive. I thought I was being productive, but I wasn't. But really it was just like, well, I'm not rushing home, I'm just going to have a quiet dinner by myself, so there's no rush home. So having some kind of a compelling evening plan, I think, is really helpful. Whether that's, and you know, I'm not saying you need to be making margaritas, I mean, all power to you if that's what you want to do for your compelling evening plans, but it might be doing a live streamed workout, or doing a dance class online, or going for a walk around the block before it gets dark, or watching that new Netflix show, or reading that new book, whatever it might be. Just create something, or like a really nice dinner. I'm finding food is making my life very compelling right now, because if I've got a really nice dinner that I'm excited for, I'm like, okay, cool, let's get work, like let's power through, so I can have that beautiful, like last night I made this one pot pasta. It was like mushroom, garlic and sun-dried tomato, which was just beautiful. So just think about, yeah, other meals that you can prepare, or pop in the slow cooker. I mean, that's a great way to down tools when you can smell something delicious cooking all day long. Think about, yeah, are there things that you could do to, yeah, just compel yourself to log off, so you're not sitting there like I used to do, fucking around unnecessarily. Commandment number 9 is thou shalt take brain breaks. So we've talked a bit about not having time to wee. We've talked about all the challenges of death by Zoom. But I think we also need to remember that when we're working in an office environment, there's a lot of, you know, whether they're planned or not, there's a lot of interruptions or little brain breaks, whether they're disguised as interruptions or not. It might be a colleague walking into the office. So we even just for 2 minutes pop up our head and say, hi, how are you? How's your morning going? Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm just doing this. All right, cool. Better get back to it. Like, that's a little brain break. It might be going for a walk up to the bathroom, you know, and maybe you work in a bigger organization, you've got to cover half the floor, and that's a bit of a brain break. You know, there's a big difference between that and just walking next door to the bathroom in your house. So I think it's important for us to almost manufacture those little brain breaks for ourselves when we are working at home, because either we're on death by Zoom, or we're doing a lot of phone calls, or we're in flow. You know, it's much easier, I find anyway, to get in flow at home, because I don't have the distractions of the co-working space that I work from normally on a Tuesday. So think about what little brain breaks can you engineer for yourself each day, just to keep yourself sharp during the day. For me, going for kind of, even if it's just walking, we've got quite a long terrace. So I'll go get some water and just kind of walk down to our tiny back garden and walk back up to the front of the house. So we've got like an extension. Our kitchen, living, dining room is an extension, which makes the house quite long and narrow. So I'll walk down and come back. Something I've gotten into the habit of doing is after lunch going for, I think it honestly takes me 7 or 8 minutes to walk the block. It's like I kind of make two blocks, a big block. So it might be that. It might be just going up and just sitting out in the garden for a couple of minutes, hanging a load of laundry out, whatever it might be. And I'm going to get to laundry in a second. Just creating those little brain breaks, they really make a big difference. Like making a snack. I know I've said like we want to have our food prepped the night before as much as possible. But one of my favorite snacks to have when I'm at home is an apple, like a really tart green apple sliced up with peanut butter, like toasted peanut butter on it. So good. Salted peanut butter always. So just even the 60 seconds that it takes me to knock that snack together, they're just little brain breaks. And having worked from home now for the last 2 years, I've realized how important those brain breaks actually are to my productivity, but also my ability to sustain myself at home. They're really, really important to sustain my energy over the day. So that's commandment number 9. Commandment number 10, our last and final commandment, is thou shalt separate work and housework. So I know a lot of people are struggling with, oh, I'll just put this laundry on, or I'll just make the beds, or I'll just pull out what we need for dinner tonight, or I'll just go and do a quick grocery shop, or whatever it might be. Like, we find a million and one things to do that aren't actually starting our work. So I think for this, something that I actually learned from Kylie Camps, she said that like, if I was going to an office, there's no way that I would be dealing with the dishes from breakfast. Like, I would leave, I would go to the office, I would do my work, and I would come home and deal with the dishes when I get home later on that day. So a really good lens is to, if you find yourself kind of pottering around in the house rather than doing your work, I mean, what I mean by that is like your business or your job work, is to say, look, if I was in an office situation, would I be doing this right now? And if the answer is no, then seriously consider just abandoning ship and getting back to whatever that task would be later on. So creating that separation, I think, is really important. And again, remember, it works both ways. It's about not logging on in the evening, which should be home time or housework time, and working, because, yeah, we want to, as much as possible, create that separation for ourselves. It just means that our brains can kick in and out of those work versus home gears more seamlessly, more elegantly. Now, that said, I do find, given that I've worked from home for 2 years, I'm actually quite adept now. I don't use... because I really think that housework and doing housework when you should be working, it's like grade A procrastinating. It's like, I'll just do this one more task and then I'll get stuck into work. And then it's one more task, another one. Oh, now I'll just do a quick vacuum. And oh, I might just rearrange the furniture and put fresh sheets on the bed and blah, 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 blah. It's a bit of a slippery slope when you start getting into it. What I will say is, for those of us who are more adept, who are just more familiar with working from home. So I know for me and my team, like Michelle and AJ on my team, like, this is kind of just normal for us now. It's how we're used to working. So what I will say is, for me, I actually can be quite, what am I saying? Quite structured with doing a little bit of housework, because that creates a little brain break for me. So if it's, I've done my two MITs, and I just feel like I need a little mini brain break and a power up before the next one, I might just hang the laundry out that I put on that morning before I started work. Or I might just pull out the vegetables that I'm going to prep for dinner later on that evening. So little things like that. You decide, and you and you alone will know what your kind of willpower and what your best way of operating is. But trying to create that separation as much as possible, I think, is really, really important. Okay, that was my quick and dirty 10 commandments to GSD, getting shit done remotely. And guys, I would love to know, so with the current chicken soup conversations, which I'm rudely interrupting with this bonus episode, they will be running for another 4 weeks when you're listening to this episode. So I am toying with what the next season of the podcast will be. I would love to know, is this content helpful? Is this something you would like me to focus the next season on? If so, when you're listening to this, just drop me an Insta DM or drop me an email. I would love to know, because yeah, I'm in percolation mode right now as to what this next season will be. And would love to get your feedback on that. Or if it's not this and it's some other thing that you would love me to focus on next season, let me know as well. I love hearing from you guys. And you guys were the reason I did that whole season on organization, which to date has been the biggest season so far on the Lorraine Murphy Show. The other thing I wanted to say as well, just to remind you that I do have a 3-module training that I am taking bookings for right now. It's called Remote Flow, and it takes teams through a 3-module training. So those 3 modules are, number one is getting remarkably organized, so GSD, getting shit done. The second module is all around how to maintain a positive mindset, because a big worry I have about this remote working situation is I think it's a real, this is a harsh word, but I think it's a potential clusterfuck for mental health, where you've got people who are feeling anxious and concerned in a global health crisis, and they don't have the normal support around them that they would normally have with their team. So positive mindset is a really, really, really important part of the remote flow training for me as well. And the third module is all about how to keep the team connected. So if people are used to kind of sitting in desks all around each other and catching up every kind of couple of hours in the office, how do we maintain that beautiful team structure in a remote working situation? So if that's something that's calling to you, whether you're a leader in an organization or you're a team member that wants your boss to invest in this, or at least to know more about it, or if you've got your own business and you're keen to help your team with some more skills to help them adjust to this kind of new normal, because I do think we're going to be in this for the next 3 to 6 months. That's my own personal feel on where we're going with this. So Remote Flow, it's called. If you would like some more information, just drop me an email through my website or drop me a DM on Instagram with your email address and I can get that info to you. But in the meantime, so normal chicken soup service will return this Friday coming. And in the meantime, I'm wishing you much love and have an awesome week ahead. I hope you've enjoyed this bonus episode of the show. Thanks. thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.